I want you, I know you can all do better than that, and I want to try that again. Let somebody give the Lord some praise in the house. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you. We give you the praise and give you the glory, Lord. Your name is exalted far above every name. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord, this morning. Do you love him? Do you love him this morning? Oh, we love you, Lord, this morning. And we thank you for the entrance of your word brings light. We ask that that light will shine in our hearts this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This morning, I want to speak on repentance and forgiveness. Now, very important teaching that will be here this morning. And it is critical that we all pay attention. We also have to do a review next week. So, we will be speaking on repentance and forgiveness. You say, well, why are you talking about this? I mean, this is the house of God anyhow. So, well, we'll find out why we're talking. At the end of this message or teaching, you should be able to answer some questions. And one of the questions that you should be able to answer at the end of this is, what is repentance? And what is forgiveness? The other question is, you know, does God require repentance to obtain forgiveness? You should be able to answer that at the end of this teaching. Also, you should be able to differentiate between our relationship with God, which is through the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our relationship with one another, and how these things apply in both areas. How the repentance and forgiveness apply in both areas. So these are things that you should be able to understand by the end of the week. Why do I do it this way? Well, it's like when you are writing a dissertation or a paper, you write the abstract and you say, this is what I'm going to talk about in this paper. So everybody knows what they are going to be looking for. So now you know what to look for. And then you give the thing, you say the thing that you are going to say, and then at the end, you tell them what it is you said. And you make some conclusions about it. So that's what we are going to do today. Repentance and forgiveness. Now, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes. Amen? And the gospel is like a bridge. You know, the pathway between us and the Lord was broken through the sin nature. And the gospel, I mean, you think of Jesus Christ spreading his hands out and stretching that gospel from one end to the end. You know, he carrying that light and stretching it out to connect us from where we were falling back to where we should be with God. Now, the gospel is also called good news. You know, but what good news about what? Well, good news about how we can get back from the fallen state of man to where God wants us to be. Praise the Lord. That's what it's all about. Now, so don't forget the two aspects that we will talk about in this, in this subject. And I am going to be reading some scriptures which I want us to pay very close attention to. But there is an area that is very urgent in my heart from the Lord that I want to talk about right now. Now, today versus yesteryears. Many years ago, in the 70s, when I gave my life to Christ, this is how, you know, we were taught. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, we were taught that if any man be in Christ, he is a new what? Creature. What happens? He said, all things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And that scripture was hammered every time into our heads. We are also taught from the book of Romans chapter 6 that let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. In fact, we used to sing a song about that when I was, in junior high school and all that and so on. So, you know, and we were taught that you had to repent and give your life to Christ and turn away from the old nature and let Christ, instill in you that new nature by the power of the Holy Ghost, you know. And it seemed like the gospel was based upon repentance. Well, and I see from the scriptures, and I'm going to be reading some scriptures to you today, I see that the scripture is actually based all the dealings of God in order for us to earn his forgiveness. There must be repentance. Now, you say, well, there must be repentance. You say, well, what about Romans chapter 5 and verse 8? You know, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. That is true. Christ died for the ungodly, but not all the ungodly will be saved. Hello, folks. The reason they are not going to be saved is because they do not repent and they do not receive the light of the gospel. Now, if there was no need for any repentance, then everybody should be saved because Christ already did it. Are you still with me, folks? Are you following me? If we are saying that, well, there's no need for repentance, Christ already paid the price, well, then everybody should be saved because Christ already paid the price. But the Bible says that Christ is the Savior of the world, especially of those that believe. The Bible also says that, I will give you some of the scriptures later. The Bible also says that, you know, when he came, he was rejected by his own. But as many as received him, he gave them the power to become the sons of God. Hallelujah. John 1 and 12. Is everybody awake here this morning?
Yes.
Say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Now, this is a sobering message, but let's go to the beginning. Well, maybe not all the way to the beginning, but let's go to, you know, some scriptures in the Old Testament and see what God, how he laid down this precept about repentance and forgiveness. For the sake of time, I will not read all the scriptures that I would have read, but I will bring out some key ones. There will be enough information in here to lay the point out. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. Now, many of us may know this scripture. In fact, we quote it from time to time. This is 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. And in this scripture, the Lord said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Can you put that scripture up? 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. And turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Now notice the things that God said here. If my people, which are called by my name, they're already his people, and they are called by his name. But he said, look, I want them to pray. If they will pray, if they will seek my face, if they will turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Turn from their wicked ways. That is repentance. He said, if they will do all these things, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Paul, can you get me some help here? I want to see the scriptures up there. All right. So, what we have here is God laying out the scripture, how it should be in the scripture, how we can obtain forgiveness. And he says, you pray, you seek my face, you turn from your wicked ways, you humble yourself, and I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Praise ye the Lord. Now, let us read also in the book of 2 Chronicles, this same 2 Chronicles. Let's fast forward to two chapters, to chapter 5. Roll back to chapter 5. Wait. Let me skip that. Let me go straight to 1 Kings. I'll go to 1 Kings chapter 8. In 1 Kings chapter 8, this is the prayer of Solomon when he was dedicating the great temple. So let's read verses 46 to 50. 1 Kings chapter 8. And I will read. You know, of course, he was praying. It's a very long prayer. I don't have time to read all of it. You can read the whole chapter. It's a very long prayer. I'm just taking a section of that prayer, you know, where he says, if they sin against you, for there is no man that sinneth not, and if thou be angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive to the land of the enemy far away, yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land where they are carried away. Now, bethink themselves means a change of mind. That's repentance. And if they repent, look at that word, and make supplication unto thee of, you know, and out of them that are carried captives, and say, we have sinned, we have done perversely, we have done wickedness, and so forth. And they begin to repent. Then he made this prayer. He said, if they shall do all of these things, and they will return unto you. Now, these are people who have departed from the Lord. Returning unto the Lord means repentance, a change of heart, and a change of ways. And they will return with all their soul, you know, and so forth. He said, you know, then in verse 49, he says, then, Lord, hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. Can you say praise the Lord? These are just some things in the Old Testament. You say, well, you know, maybe that was the Old Testament. I will get to the New Testament, you know, and how Jesus sent them out to preach the gospel in a minute. But before I get there, let's go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18. And let's look at verses 7 to 10. Jeremiah chapter 18 and verses 7 to 10. In this book, the Lord is going to lay down some other principles which people have forgotten, and especially nations. And this nation, America, has also forgotten that. So let's find out what the Lord has to say. Jeremiah 18 and verse 7. At what instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it? Now, whenever I say I'm going to destroy a nation because of wickedness and all these things, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from that evil, their evil, I will also repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them, and so on. So the Lord said, look, if they turn, then I will also change that pronunciation against them, and I will not bring the evil. Can you say praise the Lord? And at the same time, to whatever, at any time I speak concerning a nation and a kingdom, to plant it, to build it up, to raise it up, and so forth. You know, like, you know, the Lord said to the Jews, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation producing the fruits thereof. Well, you know, there may have been several nations, but this United States of America was one of those nations that produced fruit, you know. And God has blessed this nation and lifted it up and so forth. But the nation has now turned its back against the Lord. Hello, folks. That's right. And if I promise to build up a nation and to do all these great things and so forth, but the nation will do evil and not obey my voice, well, then I also would repent of the good that I thought to benefit them. And I won't do it. So there's two sides to that. You know, but notice here what we are saying, that if people will turn from their wicked ways, the Lord said, I will change the evil that I have pronounced against them, and I will forgive them. So we see that repentance is being spoken about here. Now let's look at some of the ways that Jesus taught the disciples when he came and taught them how to preach the gospel. And also, you know, some of the people, what they said when they were preaching the gospel. I start here in the book of Matthew chapter 3. Let some people say, well, you know, that was Old Testament and so forth. Matthew chapter 3, let's read. And I will start from verse 2. Now, this story here in Matthew chapter 3, this was about John the Baptist. He came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, verse 2 of Matthew 3, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now notice, repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Matthew chapter 4, let me go through this very quickly. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Are you still with me, folks? In all these scriptures, we are going to see how, you know, the Lord is putting forth the need for repentance. Let's look at Matthew chapter 9 and verse 13. Matthew 9 and verse 13 pretty much says the same kind of thing. Jesus said to them, look, I have not come to call, you know, the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So we see that he's looking for that repentance. Look at Matthew 11 and verse 21. Jesus began to chide some of the cities of his day and said, look, woe unto thee, Chorazin, and so forth, and Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. And therefore, they will rise up against you in the judgment. Now, you can see the importance also that Jesus is bringing to repentance. He said, even if you, you know, the mighty works that you are seeing now, if those cities of Tyre and Sidon that were destroyed by God, if they would have seen these same mighty works that you are seeing now, they would have repented. And they would have put sackcloth and ashes upon their head. Now, what does that all mean? Well, we'll come to that in a minute. Matthew 12 and 41. This is the story of Nineveh. And you can read about it in the book of Jonah. All of it, but especially Jonah chapter 3. In the book of Jonah chapter 3, and you may know the story of Jonah, how God sent him to the people of Nineveh to preach judgment against them. He didn't want to do it because in his righteous indignation, he thought he was better than those people, and those people deserved to die. They deserved the judgment of God. But the Bible says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And the indignation or the wrath of man does not work, you know, for God at all. So, you leave that up to God. Amen. But Jonah, he didn't care for those people to be saved. In fact, when he finally, you know, God had to put him around, you know the story, through the whale and all that. When he finally got to doing it, he went about and said, yet 40 days. He didn't say, repent. But he said, yet 40 days, this place will be destroyed. This place will be destroyed. And immediately, those people say, my land, this place will be destroyed, the king. And everybody, they put sackcloth on their head, they consecrated a fast, young, old, suckling, pregnant, I don't care, beast, animal, everybody, fall on your faces and ask God for mercy. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And they began to repent and to walk softly before God. And God saved that city that contained a lot of people. Amen? 200,000 people. Now, the men of Nineveh, in Matthew 12:41, Jesus was referring to it here, will rise up in judgment against this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. So the Lord, in every one of these scriptures, putting importance on repentance. You know, repentance. And trembling at his word. We spoke about that last Friday at the church. We saw also in the book of 1 Kings chapter 21, the story of Ahab. When God pronounced judgment against him, then he walked softly, you know, and God delayed that judgment. And God even said, you see how this wicked they have? That there is none wicked like him. But when he heard what God would pronounce against him, how he humbled himself and walked softly before me. He said, because of that, I will even pronounce, the judgment that I pronounced against him and so forth, that I will cast off his posterity and all these things, I'm going to delay it. You can read that in 1 Kings chapter 21, verses 27 to 29. But let me move on here. We have seen so many of these scriptures where the Lord is teaching repentance. And here's another good one. I'm just laying the foundation for this. In Luke chapter 3, let's look at verse 3 quickly, and I must move quickly along in this thing. Luke chapter 3 and verse 3. He says, he went and came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Now, that was John's ministry, John the Baptist. He was preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. So we see that he did that. And that was very important. And there's a story here in Luke chapter 13 that the people told to Jesus. They came and told him some things. Look, they told him about how some tower somewhere fell upon some people and all that and all that. And the people were felt a little bit righteous in their hearts and so on. So Jesus told them, he said, look, in Luke chapter 13, he began to tell them in verse 5, except that you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You think that those 18 people upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell, that they were sinners above the others? No. Or you think upon this evil that happened to some people over here, they are sinners above the others? No. But except you repent, shall all likewise perish. So we see continually talking about repentance. Now, let's go and see how even some of the apostles, how they began to preach this. And before we do that, one more scripture that Jesus spoke here in Luke chapter 24. We know after the resurrection, he was walking on the road to Emmaus. He met two disciples and they engaged in a conversation and so on and so forth. Look at verse 46. Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. How many of you are still with me? These are the words of Jesus himself. Repentance and remission of sins, that's forgiveness. They go together. Must be preached in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. And you are witnesses of these things. Well, let's see what they did on the day of Acts. On the day of Pentecost in the Acts of the Apostles. In Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in the one accord with the upper room. The Holy Ghost fell upon them, and they began to speak with tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. And some people said, these people are drunk and so forth. Peter stood up and said, these people are not drunk, but this is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel and so on and so forth. You know the story. And then he preached a powerful message, and those people were caught in their hearts. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? He said, he told them in verse 36, let all the house, this is Acts 2, 36. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this same Jesus that you crucified, he has made him both Lord and Christ. Praise the Lord. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and they said, what shall we do? Well, I'll tell you something, folks. Throughout, I've looked and I've done some research on this, but I don't have time to show you all the scriptures. But throughout the Gospels, even more the epistles, we see that even the writers, the apostles and so forth that laid down the scriptures for the early church, they spoke about the Lord Jesus more as the Lord than the Savior. You say, why? Well, because Christ himself, he talked about us following him. You say, following him? Absolutely. So listen to what Peter said. Verse 38. When he asked him, what shall we do? What is the first thing? Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. This is the first man that we know recorded after the Holy Spirit came into the church that would preach a message of salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's look at how he said it. What did he say? Did he say, let's see what he read. Repent. That's what he said. Are you with me, folks? Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Peter answered unto them and said, repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Wow. You know, one time even Jesus said to Peter, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And he laid it out right here. Now, let's compare that to today. Today, we don't hear about repent. What do we hear? Accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. As if Jesus needs validation. I mean, the word accept shows that, you know, what does it really mean? I don't understand it. Because that phrase is not in the Bible, folks. It is, you must repent. The reason the churches are filled today with unregenerated people is because the message of repentance has been lost. And the majority of people, even some people that may be sitting here today, may truly have not repented of their works. Because the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, folks, you are a new creature. You cannot come to church, sing like an angel, dance in the Holy Ghost, and do all of these things, and the rest of the week you live like a devil. Then you have not repented. You are still in your sins. Hello, folks. That's right. And the message of repentance, especially on a day like this, which is our consecration service after all, is that we must repent. Hallelujah. That's the way the gospel was preached. Some people are raised in the church, you know, and some people started going to the church either because their spouse is going or whatever is going, or their parents are forcing them to go. I don't know. But except you repent and be born again. And when you are born again, the old nature is gone, folks. Praise ye the Lord. The old nature is gone. You can't come to church and then on Saturday night you go to the nightclub and on this and that. That is still the old nature. You are not yet regenerated. And that is because, you know, most preachers say, you come up here, you shake my hand, you say a few words, and everything is okay. Everything is not okay, folks. You must repent. You must give up the old ways. Hallelujah. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Well, this is the old kind of gospel that we need to be preaching again. And listen to this also in the book of Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Listen to this. He said, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. You can see in all the scriptures, as they began to tell them, they saw a miracle, the people saw a miracle, and they, you know, wondering and all that. And, you know, Peter began to straighten them out. This is how, you know, this is what you need to do. You need to repent that your sins may be blotted out, you know, and so forth. And he told them, you're going to get a refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. In the book of Acts chapter 17, let's take a look at this commandment from the Lord. Acts 17 and verses 30 and 31. Here's what he says. The times of ignorance, God has winked at. Now he overlooked the times of ignorance. But now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Everywhere. He's not commanding. You don't have a choice, folks. That's the way to enter into life, is a turnaround and repentance. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And he said, commands every man to repent, because he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world by righteousness and so forth. And he will judge by that man, Jesus Christ, whom he has ordained, you know, and he has given him this assurance because he raised him, giving us assurance that this is the man because he raised him from the dead. Praise the Lord. God has commanded us everywhere, commanded people everywhere to repent, you know. But there is no, even for revival, true revival, we read it already in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. True revival must be preceded by repentance. We need to start repenting that, Lord, we are forsaking your ways. And we read the story of the man of Judah in 1 Kings 13. And the judgment that was pronounced against, he did not repent. And so the judgment came upon his head. He should have repented. He should have fallen down on his face and cried unto the Lord. I said, Lord, I screwed up. I have sinned. I'm a man of unclean lips. I have not followed your ways. And I beg for your forgiveness. Hallelujah. And the Lord would have turned that judgment. I guarantee you so. But he did not repent. There is a beautiful story that Jesus told in the book of Luke chapter 15. Illustrating this repentance and how God does it. And he told the story of a young man. There are two of them in the family, and one of them said, well, that's it. Just give me whatever belongs to me. I'm out of here. And so he went and squandered all. You may know the story as the prodigal son story. He went to a place like maybe Las Vegas or Hollywood or any other sin city that you may think about. And he did all kinds of things. Riotous living with whores and so on. You know, and then finally he began to be in want. And when all kinds of things happened to him and so forth, he wanted to eat even pig's food. They wouldn't give it to him. Finally, here's where the repentance begins to come in. And one day, he came to himself. This is the prayer that Solomon prayed. He said, when they go away from you and they come to themselves, and then they begin to seek your face, then hear and forgive. This man, he came to himself. And he said, I must repent. I must go back. That's repentance. Hallelujah. I must go back to my father's house. You know, I must confess my sins. I must say, Father, I've sinned against you and all of that. And I must change my ways. I must get away from this sin city. Amen. Praise the Lord. You cannot accept the Lord Jesus Christ and remain in sin city, folks. That's what people are doing today. Accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal savior. There's no phrase in the Bible that calls Jesus personal savior of anybody. He is the savior of the world. And especially them that believe. But it's not some personal savior that we put in our pocket and we call upon him to save us and do whatever we want and we don't want to follow him. He wants to be your Lord. And you will see that throughout the epistles, Paul, he never wrote about Jesus being savior. He wrote about Jesus Christ, our Lord. Because lordship is more important than, you know, the concept of people, you know, if they understand the true concept of savior, it will be great. That would be good. But we don't understand it today. We've lost it. Today, the way we see Savior is, I'm in a jam. I'm in a horrible pit. Lord, help me. Pull me out. That's what we see God as Savior. But we don't want to follow the Christ. Jesus said, follow me. Hallelujah. And I will make you fishers of men. He that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. We need to follow the Christ. Not just to say, I accept Jesus as personal Savior. You must turn around. Your life must be changed. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Will you follow him? Will you turn your life around? You know, in many other scriptures, in the book of Romans, chapter 2, let's see what it says. And verse 4. The Bible says, look, do you despise the riches of God's goodness and his forbearance and long suffering? Just because God's not striking people down right away on their head every time they do something, and people think that they can just go on and do whatever they want. Don't you know that the goodness of God is leading you to repentance? The reason that God is giving you a long rope to pull, as they say, is so that you may repent. Can you say amen? That's what it's all about. this gospel of salvation and this gospel of reconciliation with God begins with repentance. You cannot be the same you were. Just accept, just sign here on the church register, and then you are okay. No, you are not okay. You must be regenerated. It is called the washing of generation, regeneration, and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Listen to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. This is the same thing we just read in Romans chapter 2. That was Paul. This is Peter by the Holy Ghost saying the same thing. Don't think that, God is slack. No, his long suffering is towards all. He doesn't wish that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, folks. We don't preach enough about this repentance. Even believers today that say, well, I'm saved and so forth like that. Many folks are still doing the things that are contrary to the scriptures. Because there is no true repentance. Repentance means a turning around from those ways that God condemns to the ways of God. That we should walk softly in the fear of the Lord. This is the whole commandment of man. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, in the letters that God commanded John to write to the churches of Asia Minor in those days, which many of us have read and quoted over and over, and we've talked about it as the seven church ages and all these things. In many of these scriptures, Jesus is telling the church, listen to this, that church, folks, some people quote Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. They quote that when they are preaching to unbelievers. That's for their church, folks. It's not even, Jesus, it was a message to the church. Jesus is outside his church, folks. And he's waiting. Hello? Now listen to all the admonitions of repentance in the book of Revelation to the churches. Revelation chapter 2. And verse 5, this is when we have lost our first love. Many years ago, I preached on a subject called the first love. It's on our website. When we have lost that first love, Jesus said, look, this is to everybody that is sitting here today. You say, well, I don't need to repent from sin because I don't do it. Well, maybe you have lost your first love. Because one man, he came to Jesus, he said, I've done all these things. And Jesus said, well, that's great. One thing thou lackest, maybe it is your first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. And do the first works, or else I will come unto you quickly, and will remove your candlestick from its place, except thou repent. Look at how he continues to stress repentance, folks. At the church, stay with me today. The young people, are you there? Young people, can I hear you? All right. Now, there must be repentance, true repentance. Listen to verse 16 of the same chapter. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will fight against thee with the sword of my mouth. This is Jesus, a warning to the church. This message, folks, is to the churches. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. That's what he said over and over again, Listen to even Revelation chapter 3, verse 3. So many verses here, I can't read them all. Remember, Revelation 3:3. Therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast. Some people have lost ground in what they used to believe. They've lost ground. Probably because, like they said to Moses, well, we don't know what became of this man. He's been gone for so long. We don't know of him. Come on, Aaron, make us some gods over here. They lost ground. They were wearied out. And God, he has a way. It's part of his plan. To weary out the unbelievers and the grumblers and so forth. You know, maybe when he delays, it looks like he's delaying, but it is on time as far as God is concerned. Praise the Lord. But it looks like he's delayed so that those who are impatient, the grumblers, the unbelieving, the unrighteous and so forth, they may fall back. Hallelujah. That's the way. Behold, my fan is in my hand. And I will thoroughly purge my floor, saith the Lord. You know, the wheat and the tares, they are together. But God has to get rid of the tares. He needs to get rid of the tares. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And he will too. And he said to them, remember how thou hast received. If you have forgotten the things which you used to believe. And repent. And hold fast. If therefore thou shalt not watch, then I will come unto you as a thief. And thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Now that's a sad, sad place to be. But Jesus is calling for repentance. How many of you can say amen? Now, there is good news from the Lord. The good news is his forgiveness and his mercy that endureth forever. The only people, like I said, that are not forgiven are those that do not repent. That is the reason why the devil and his devils can never be forgiven. Because they will never repent. Praise the Lord. That's right. But I want to tell you something today. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter how you got there, there is hope for you today. But you must repent. You cannot just come to church, look nice to everybody, and think it's okay. You must repent and be born again. Hallelujah. And the Lord, his arms are open. The story of that father in the prodigal son story, he was always on the lookout. Occasionally, he will even say, now this is not in the story, this is my own embellishment. Occasionally, he will say to the older brother, have you heard from your younger brother? And the man will say, I don't know. I don't care. That's whatever he's doing there, you know, and so on. And the man, the old man, always looking out, always wanting, waiting, and believing in his heart. Hallelujah. That the young man will come on home. And so when the young man came, the old man was the first to see him afar off. Because he was always waiting for him. And always knowing that he will come back. Hallelujah, folks. Now, there may be some of you that are in here today that have gone away from the Lord. You say, well, I've been coming to church. I don't care if you've been coming to church. And I don't care if you are new in the church either. This message is for you. And this promise is unto you. The promise of forgiveness and the promise of the Holy Ghost to renew your life is for you. But you must repent. Praise ye the name of the Lord. How do you know that you need repentance? Well, let me tell you how. When that church service that takes 2 hours feels to you like it's 6 hours long. Hello, folks. Are you still with me? When a 2-hour church service begins to feel to you like it's 6 hours long, you need repentance. When you begin to say, when you see all these things on television and say, it doesn't matter. When you see men marrying men, women marrying women, and you don't see anything wrong about it, you need repentance. Because this is the reason that Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. And this is the thing that is going to destroy this America. America, you must repent. Because the handwriting is on the wall. And we're going to put this on the website, folks. And I wish all Americans, from the president down, will hear and tremble before the word of the Lord. Because this nation has turned its back against the law. And they must repent. But I tell you, folks, too, those of us who are in the house of the Lord, who are no longer sighing about the evil, remember the inkhorn writer in the book of Ezekiel chapter 9. He's looking for those who are distressed about the evil that are going on in the land. And he's going to put a mark on them to set them apart from the destruction. But when you begin to say, it doesn't matter, you need repentance. Are you still with me, folks? When you cannot see anything good in the church except the part that you can criticize, then you need repentance. When you no longer have passion for souls, then you need repentance. When the word of God no longer makes you to tremble, when you hear the word of God and you don't tremble anymore, you need repentance. And I can go on and on and on and let the Holy Ghost begin to speak to your heart. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And also when you think that by your great wisdom or by your goodness or by the fact that you are special, that's how you have accomplished whatever it is that you have accomplished or wherever you are in life, then you need repentance. Because there was a man like that who strutted his stuff and said, don't you see how all these hanging gardens were built by my hand? And people used to come from all over the world and say, wow, there's no place like this, Babylon. You know, and he strutted and said, you know, the majesty of my glory and the brightness of my coming has done all these things. And while the word was yet in his mouth. Amen, folks. The Lord said, I'll turn you into a monkey. Then you will find out that God ruleth in the affairs of men. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And finally, he found out. And he gave one of the best accolades to the Lord in that whole scripture. He said, now I know. Hallelujah. Because he repented finally. Now I know that there is nobody like the Lord. And that he ruleth in the affairs of men. And that nobody can tell him what to do or not to do. And he rules and does what he wants in the armies of heaven. Hallelujah. And no man can stay his hand. And all that raise themselves up in pride, he is able to abase. Hallelujah. And the Lord said to Job, he said, when Job was asking the Lord some things and behaving somehow, the Lord said to him, look, can you look to everyone that is proud and bring him down like I can? Folks, when you are on the mountain, pride is the quickest way to fall off the mountain. Amen, folks? And when we have that in our lives, then we need repentance. But the forgiveness of God through our Lord Jesus Christ has been assured us because God raised him from the dead. The book of Romans chapter 4 and 25, we are told that Jesus Christ was bruised for our offenses. Hallelujah. But he rose again for our justification. But we must repent. I may continue this next time because I don't have time to finish the second part of this. But the second part of this has to do with our personal relationships. One time, the Lord said something to the disciples. And then after that, our friend Peter came and asked him something. The Lord said to the disciples, Luke 17 and verse 3, take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. Amen? Amen? Some people don't know that that's in the scripture. It's okay to rebuke your brother or sister or whatever. And if he repent, forgive him. Well, what about if he doesn't repent? Can you still forgive even if they don't repent? There is a higher level of grace wherein you can say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus did it. So did Stephen when they were stoning him to death. Forgive them, Lord. Now, the people that stoned Stephen to death did not repent, at least while he was there dying. But yet he forgave them. And yet he prayed for them. And Jesus told this incredible story in Matthew 18. You have to read all of it. In fact, he said here in Luke 17, let me finish verses 3 and 4. Rebuke your brother when he sins against you, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against you 7 times in a day, and turns you again and say, I repent, you must also forgive him. Amen? That's a commandment. It's not an option. You say, well, what if they don't turn? Well, but what if they do turn? Some people turn and say, I'm sorry, yet they don't forgive. The other person still doesn't forgive. Especially in a marriage situation. That can really eat as a cancer to the core. Unforgiveness. The root of bitterness will spring up through unforgiveness. Are you still with me, folks? Now, you say, well, he's supposed to forgive, or she's supposed to forgive. Then that means I can do anything I want. Well, Jesus said it himself. Offenses must yet and must need come, but woe unto the person through whom it comes. If you think, well, you know, my brother or my sister or my husband or my wife is supposed to forgive me, then I can do anything I want. Well, folks, you need yourself repentance as well. So Peter finally, he summoned up courage and said, okay, well, this business of forgive my brother 7 times. How many times should I forgive my brother, really? So he asked the Lord in Matthew 18. 7 times? And Jesus said what? Not 7 times, but I say unto you, 70 times 70 times 7 times, which is 490 times. Well, he just threw that out there. There's a deeper meaning to that, but I don't have time to go into this today. And so he told them a story of the servant that owed his master like $10,000. And he couldn't pay. And when he begged the master, let me have some time, I will make it good. The master said, okay. And then the same servant turned around. And as he left the master, he found one of his fellow servants that owed him $1. Now remember, he owed $10,000. Just a ratio. Actually, it's a lot more than that. The other one owed him just $1. And the man begged him, just like he begged the master. I'm so sorry. Things are not going right just now. Give me some time, I will pay. And he said, no way. You owe me this money. And that's what you're always doing. You're always ducking me around. You don't want to pay. We grabbed him by the neck, had him hauled into jail until he should pay. And I've often wondered, if the man could not pay when he was free, when he could get a job, how would he pay when he's in jail? So that man was going to rot there. So the other servants, they heard about it, they were not happy. So they went and told the master. The master called this wicked servant and said, wow, thou wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you desired of me. Now that's asking for forgiveness. More like, you know, he asked. And I forgave you. You also should have had pity on your fellow servant, just like I forgave you. And the Lord, his master, changed his mind. I am reversing that forgiveness because you yourself did not forgive. Call me those tormentors. Deliver him to the tormentors. Now, there's a reason why some people's prayers are not answered. The Bible says, lest your prayers be hindered. Some people are tormented, which they shouldn't be. They are children of God, but they shouldn't be. But it could be unforgiveness in their lives that makes this kind of thing happen to them. I will give you a text to read. I can't read the whole thing. Matthew 18, the last few verses. You can read from verse 32 to verse 35. And they delivered this wicked servant to the tormentors until he himself should pay. So likewise, verse 35, shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if you from your hearts do not forgive everyone his brother their trespasses. Can you see the importance of forgiveness? Both from the gospel, our relationship to God, and our relationship to one another. Let's stand to our feet here this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I want you to examine yourself this morning. And if you believe that the word of God spoke to you this morning, harden not your hearts. As in the days of provocation. The Bible says, when your fathers tempted me in the wilderness, they hardened their hearts. They would not repent. God called out to them every single time, but they would not repent. Folks, we must repent of our ways. Amend your ways, saith the Lord. In Jeremiah 7, don't come into this house of the Lord and stand before the Lord and say, this is the house of the Lord, this is the house of the Lord, and then say, go out and do all this evil and all this wickedness. Don't you think I've seen it, saith the Lord? Hallelujah. And if you are not sure, or maybe you are new, and you think your life is upside down, I'm going to give you a chance this morning to make a bold declaration and come forward and say, I want a turnaround in my life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you're still looking around, see if somebody look at you, then you really need repentance. God, this is between you and the Lord. And I'm not going to ask anybody here to accept the Lord as any personal savior. You must repent of your ways. You must have a change of heart. You need to decide whom you are going to serve. Are you going to follow the Lord? Hallelujah. That's a song that says, I will follow him wherever he may lead. Are you ready to follow the Lord wherever he may lead? There's another one that says, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. If that's you, I want you to step forward. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. And you young people, this message is for you as well. You cannot come to church and still continue to do your old ways and follow the ways of the world. The destiny of those people is different from your destiny, folks. I have decided to follow Jesus. If that's you this morning, the grace and the mercy of God, the blood of Jesus is flowing here this morning. Will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Never mind what anybody would think. Come on down this morning. Come as you are. Hallelujah. Come as you are this morning. Because if you leave this place today, you may never have another opportunity like this. And Jesus said, when I tell you to preach and to warn the wicked of their sin, and you don't warn them, the wicked will die in the sin, but I will require the blood from your hands. But if you warn the wicked, then your hands are clean. By the grace of God, I have spoken the word this morning. And my hands are clean of every man's blood. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided. Brother Julius, please come. Follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The world behind me. The cross before me. The world behind me. The cross before me. For some of you, it may be your relationship with your spouse. And except you repent, I will come unto you quickly. And I will take your candlestick from its place. Husbands, love your wives. And let a wife see that she reverence her husband. You take the whole world, but give me Jesus. You take the whole world, but give me Jesus. Brother Francis, Brother Peter. Take the whole world, but give me. Come and help us pray with these people here that are here. No turning back. No turning back. Praise the Lord. I have decided. Have you decided? You cannot serve God and mammon. Some of you, it is your job. Or your business that's keeping you away from God. You cannot serve God and mammon, folks. Light and darkness cannot coexist. Ye are called to walk in the light. You are called to follow Christ.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Those of you who are here, out here this morning, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be multiplied unto you.